This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3382 for Tuesday, the 20th of July 2021. Today's show is entitled, How I Fixed a Fault on My Car, for free thanks to YouTube. It is hosted by Mr. X and is about 13 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, How I Fixed a Fault on My Car, for free and as an added bonus, without injuring myself.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X, and welcome to this podcast. As usual, I'd like to start by thanking the people at HPR for making this service available to us all on these here intertubes. HPR is a community-led podcast provided by the community for the community. That means you can contribute too. Why don't you send in a show? All you need is a recording device and we've all got something like that these days, a mobile phone, an MP3 player, a computer if you've got one, laptop, tablet, anything. Send in a show, hit record button and send in a show. It's very easy. And you might enjoy it. If we all contributed, we'd have more shows and we'd know what to do with. Anyway, for reference, I've done it before and I'll start by saying this is Saturday the 20th of February 2021 and the thing is still going on, the thing I won't talk about. So I don't know if I maybe mentioned it before, but while this thing was going on, my faithful old faithful car packed in, and I had to buy myself something in a bit of a hurry, and I had to go to a garage and a garage and buy a car from there. So it's not the normal, it's not necessarily generally how I go about buying cars. I tend to buy old second-hand cars. So this car I bought was a bit newer than I'm used to. I think really what did the car in was that my previous car had an automatic gearbox, and I think with it sitting so long, I think that's what the seals basically went in the gearbox and oil got into places it shouldn't have been, and I think actually what caused it to fail. It hadn't done a huge mileage. It was quite, I think it was about 75,000 miles, something like that, 76. In fact, this new car, I say new, is actually about the same mileage. It's come approaching 80,000 now. So anyway, I digress. The point is, I was driving it the other day. I don't drive it very often because of the thing going on. I think a tank of petrol lasts many weeks these days. And sometimes it sits for almost a week. I mean, that's not ideal for a car. I was driving the car and I heard this noise, and I thought, what's that noise? And I was beginning to wonder, the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, it's a new car. Well, it's not new now, it's about 6 months old. But you always think, I think in hindsight, I probably paid too much for it. Well, I almost definitely did because I bought it from my garage. But It takes me a wee while. Well, I know I take, it takes me a wee while to get a bit of confidence in a car and see, is it going to be okay? I'm always kind of looking out for things to go wrong. So, I mean, generally, I've been quite lucky with my cars, and I haven't had a lot of problems with my car, with my cars over the years. So, it's just, I guess, it's always a concern sort of thing. But anyway, digressing again, I was driving along, and I kind of heard this kind of this noise, and I thought, oh, is this to, is it to do with, if I when I accelerate, is it an engine thing? But the car felt smooth, so it didn't sound like that. And then I kind of eased off, and then and of course, when I was in neutral, just coasting, I couldn't hear it. So that's kind of what made me think it was something to do, maybe something to do with the engine or something. I thought, oh no, that's not good. But I got near my destination, and there was some rumble strips, sort of uneven, bumpy bits that you go over the, on the on the on the in the housing estate, and these are to slow cars down. And of course, as the car rumbled over it, I heard this kind of lots of twanging noises. In fact, I thought initially that it was maybe the bonnet release had not been clipped in properly. That's what I first of all thought. But once I went over these rumble strip things, these bumps, I could hear the kind of twang, and I said, oh, that sounds like something like, an exhausty thing or something. Maybe the heat shield or something like that. So anyway, I parked up and revved the engine a little bit, and nothing happened. I know my previous car, that old Ford Focus, is a little bit rattly, the heat shields and whatnot. And I sort of ducked my head under and had a look. I mean, I had good, not good clothes on, but I didn't want to go lying on the driveway to have a look. So I ducked my head under, and at first I couldn't see anything, and everything looked all solid and in place. And then I spotted it flapping. It was indeed a heat shield. Oh God! So it was it. I sort of just left it at that, and when I got back home, I had a closer look, and sure enough, there's two bolts that hold the heat shield on, kind of in the middle of the car. The heat shield itself is thin aluminium tray, and the with all the vibrating and all that, it obviously it broke away from the bolt and was just completely loose. And probably that final rumble strip just made it completely break away. So I did what most of us geeks do, and had a look online, did a YouTube search, and said, oh, how do you fix a rattling heat shield? I think was the search terms I used. I didn't even say on the exhaust or muffler, as you maybe say in America. And there was a whole slew of suggestions. Somebody suggested using, you drill out the hole and you fit pot rivets, and that was one suggestion. I can't remember. There was three suggestions. Anyway, I'm really not particularly handy, a handy kind of person, and I thought, well, I don't really want to be going into garages if I can help it. Again, with all this going on, you may want to be a bit cautious. If you can avoid going to places, then I try to do that, So I thought. Anyway, this. I don't have a pot rivet gun. The idea of drilling out holes in my car, didn't fancy doing that anyway. And that was the second option, was to create, you can create brackets from a strip and drill holes and all that. And I don't have anything like that handy, so I thought, oh, that's not any good. But the third option, which somebody came up with, which I will include a link to the video if it's still available and all that, somebody you and it's something I definitely have plenty of, was using a tin lid. And so in fact, having a my four-legged companion, he goes through quite a few tin lids, so we had plenty of those about. So you basically just flatten the tin lid, drill a hole in it with a trusty drill. Now I've got a battery drill, a home based drill, which I bought many, many years ago. It's a DIY do it yourself shop in America, in Britain, and at least it was. I don't know if it's still around, but it's been a good drill that. Anyway, did that, drilled through it, and of course I also thought, well, are these nuts going to come off? But they did that. You know, I put a wee bit WD-40 on them last night, and I managed to loosen one that night, and I had a go at the second one, but it wouldn't release. But the next day, today I should say, I give it another squirt, and sure enough, the nuts came off, so that was fine. So I just took the nuts off, drilled a hole in the tin lid, pushed it through. There's a kind of bolt sticking out there, protruding out from underneath the car. Screwed the nut back on again, and that's a heat shield, lovely and secure. Now I don't know how long it's going to last. How long will it take for a dog can lid to rust through? I don't know. Is there something wrong with doing that? Don't know. I'm not a professional garage mechanic. It was a botch hack job to get me through the situation I'm in just now, but I was delighted. I didn't scuff my fingers. I didn't drill my fingers. Didn't cut my fingers on the can lid. It had a kind of ring pull arrangement, and in fact the edge is quite, it's not that sharp. In fact, when you pull a ring pull can, and I sort of flexed the ring pull up and down until it snapped off, and it left a kind of dimple in the middle, which was quite a bit thicker than the rest of the can. That's actually the bit that I drilled through, so that makes it that bit stronger. And while I didn't tighten the nuts as tight as they originally were, I tightened them to a reasonable amount, and it all seemed very secure. So I'll need to keep an eye on it, but it's a very small heat shield, it's not a big thing. So I was delighted with the outcome. I don't know, I'm sure there'll be horrified mechanics saying, why would you do that? You know, that won't work because blah, 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 blah. Well, feel free to comment on it if you've got a better solution. As I say, it was things I had to hand. And as I say, the final outcome was very good. So I was very pleased. And of course, the weather at the moment is a bit rubbishy, and I managed to do it in the morning before the rain really kicked off badly. It was raining a little bit. But here in bonnie Scotland, we get plenty of rain. So, in fact, to be perfectly honest, I'm very much looking forward to winter coming to an end, because it seems to be going on forever. I'm sure it feels the same for a lot of people around the world who are having a hard time just now. But I think that's all I've got on this one. And hope it wasn't too rambly, but it's a good hack that if you ever have a loose rattling heat shield on your exhaust or muffler, then a dog can lid might just do the job. Your mileage may vary, of course. Okay, so that's it. That's all I have for today. If you want to contact me, or if you've got a better solution, why don't you record your own show? Ken would love that. If you want to contact me, I can be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So till next time, thank you and goodbye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.